you call somewhere and how do you say that name? Slayersville, Sawyersville, Sayer. What? It's S-A-L-Y-E-R-S, Sawyer, and then Ville. So Sayersville, and where is Sayersville? Well, if you ever heard of Paintsville or Prestonsburg, it's down in that area. If you heard of West Liberty, it's kind of in between those two. If you've been down to Mountain Parkway, you've been through Sayersville. That's where the Mountain Parkway begins. 18 years ago when I left South Shore, y'all probably know where South Shore is. When I left South Shore and went to Sayersville, I didn't know where it was either. So anyway. All right, without anything else, my family would have come with me, but my daughter's home from college today, and I couldn't pull her mommy away from her. And she's leaving a little bit early this afternoon to get back to Lexington. So my family stayed to be with my daughter, so that's okay. All right, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. Find Mark chapter number 9 also, because that's going to be our main text. And when your pastor was down preaching for me a few weeks ago, I began talking to him about this situation. He says, you need to preach that for me sometime. And so that's what I'm going to do for you tonight. My story is going to be about my son. And we'll wait until we get into the message to kind of to get into that. But the message is, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's going to be the title of the message today. So let's go to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. And these beginning scriptures are just kind of a way of introduction. In the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4, a common passage of scripture that we all know, and I'm sure that you will agree with what I'm going to say. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, and it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I'm sure that each of us here today believes that the word of God is powerful. And that the Word of God, God uses. And we could say amen to the fact that the Word of God is powerful. I know that you believe that the Word of God is powerful. There is no doubt of that in my mind. You will believe that. If you jump down to verse number 15, it also says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we talked about that, and I ask you the question, do you believe that Jesus has felt with the feelings of your infirmities? I believe that you would say the answer to that is yes. I believe that you would be able to amen that. I believe that you believe that Jesus hurts when you hurt. That Jesus has felt with the feelings of your infirmities. Remember, we are members of the body of Christ. And if we are as members of the body of Christ, doesn't it tell us that as members of the body in Christ that we ought, when one member rejoices, then we should all rejoice. And then when one member suffers or when one member hurts, we should all hurt. And I don't believe that should exclude Jesus, should it? I mean, if we're members of His body, then if we are rejoicing, He's going to rejoice along with us. And if we are hurting, then He's going to rejoice along with us. I believe that Jesus has really felt with the feelings of our infirmities. It's just not scriptures. It's not just words that are on a page. I believe that's a declaration of the truth and that when we are hurting, Jesus hurts with us. He's truly felt with the feelings of our infirmities. Okay? And He knows what it's like when we suffer. He can sympathize with us because He hurt also. And He has truly felt with the feelings of our infirmities. So today we believe that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We believe that Jesus has felt with the feelings of our infirmities. When we hurt, He hurts. Let's look at another passage of Scripture just in a way of introduction in the book of Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 58. Jesus, when He was here on earth, this morning I preached at Emmanuel, I preached about Jesus the transformer of lives. And that when Jesus was on this earth, He did many mighty works. And He performed miracles. Christ Jesus came not into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And as He walked upon this earth, He met the needs of many people. He healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk. He caused the blind to see. He made the deaf be able to hear. He raised the dead. He fed the 5,000. He fed those that were hungry. He did many mighty, wonderful works while He was here upon this earth, didn't He? There was nothing that He couldn't do while He walked upon this earth. He met the needs of many people. And it tells us, though, as He went to His hometown of Nazareth, it tells us in Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 58, it says, "And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." What's this verse teach us? This verse teaches us that the unbelief, I want you to focus on that word believe and belief. The unbelief of the residents of Nazareth hindered the ability of Christ to perform His miracles. Isn't that what it says? He did not many mighty wonderful works there because they would not believe. Okay? He could not perform. Oh, He could have. I mean, if He wanted to, He could have performed miracles there, irregardless of their belief. But He chose not to perform miracles because they would not believe in Him. Do you believe in miracles today? Do you believe that God still works in our midst? Do you believe still today that He does miraculous things? Do you also, therefore, believe that unbelief hinders Him? Unbelief, the lack of trusting Him, would keep Him from displaying His power on someone's behalf. I believe, based upon these Scriptures, that we can see that it is true that He may choose not to move because of someone's unbelief. Right? Remember, the Word of God is powerful. He has felt with the feelings of our infirmities. And therefore, when we hurt, He hurts. And sometimes He chooses to believe. He chooses to move. Now let's turn to Mark chapter number 9. Let me set the scene for you here in Mark chapter number 9. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as He's on the Mount of Transfiguration, of course, Peter, James, and John are along with Him. And the first part of Mark chapter number 9 tells us about Jesus being transfigured before them. And as Jesus comes down off of the mountain, we pick the story up in verse number 14. It says, "And when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, 'What question ye them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.'" So here's what's happening. Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and while Peter, James, and John is with Him up on the Mount of Transfiguration, this man brings his son to his other disciples. And he asks the other disciples of Jesus to do something for his son. "Heal my son, please. My son is demon-possessed. He has a dumb spirit. Do something for my son." And his disciples did everything they could, and they couldn't do anything to help him. So when Jesus comes down off of the mountain, He sees there this man, and He sees the scribes questioning the other disciples, and He's saying, "What's going on?" And this man says, I brought my son, and they could not heal him." Let's read on. Verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and whatsoever he taketh, him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell upon the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So here we have this situation of this father with a son who is demon-possessed, and he desired that his son be healed. And Jesus asked him the question, how long since it came to him in verse number 22? And the father said, ever since he was a child. And I want you to really focus on verse number 23. Now notice what Jesus says. If thou canst believe, a lot of things are possible to him that believes. Most things are possible to him that believes. No, that's not what Jesus said. All things are possible to him that believeth. What kind of limitations do we want to put on God today? What are the things that we can say, now God can't do that, or God won't do this, or I don't really know if God still does this or not? See, we put a lot of limitations on God because we say, well, I don't really think He does that anymore. Well, Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that means that He'll do anything that you believe He will do. Okay? Isn't that what He said? All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, here's what happens to us in our lives a lot of times. We will believe and take what the Scripture says and say, oh, I believe that. But when it comes time for us to practically apply that in our lives, sometimes we're not so ready to believe that. And we never know how we will respond in a situation until we're put into a situation. And let's remember that God is only big as we believe that He is. God will only move a lot of times as much as we believe that He will move. If we don't really think God is going to do something, do you think that He will? So it comes down to your concept and my concept of how big do we believe that God is? Now, we'll say, oh, God can do all things. He spoke the world into existence. And then we're faced with a situation. Are we ready to believe God for that situation? Now, let me tell you why I'm preaching this message. My son is 17 years old, and Troy knows my son. And he probably knows the story, too, that I'm going to tell you. But 17 years ago at King's Daughters Hospital, when my son was born, August the 29th, 1996, my wife and I, we were there, and you know, we got a son, it's our second child, and you know how it is, you're all excited and all those things. And we had one of them rooms where the baby stays in the room with you and all of those things. And so we have him, she has him one day, and we keep him in all night and all that. The next morning we know that we're going to have company, so we take him down to the nursery. And so we can get ready, you know. And so I get a shower, and my wife gets a shower, and go down and get the son, and knock on the nursery door. Mark Campbell, I want to pick up my son. And you can tell by the look on the nurse's face that something's not right. Mr. Campbell, we can't give you your son. Your son had a seizure, and he's over in NICU. The doctor will be in to talk to you in a few minutes. The doctor comes in and says, we've been running some tests on your son, and he has post-hemorrhagic hydrocephalus. We're going to go down and do an ultrasound on him. Looks like he has level 3, almost a level 4 bleed, and here's what that means. He's going to have cerebral palsy. He's going to be brain damaged. He may not walk. He may not talk. We don't know the extent of his damage yet. But it's not good. The prognosis is not good. He's probably going to have brain surgery. He's probably going to have a shunt. You need to start making preparations right now for having a son that's going to have brain damage. Wow! What news? Devastated. What do? I go back to the room and I tell my wife. I said, she says, where's Mark Anthony? I'm like, I can't get him. He's in NICU. She, what? So I have to tell her. And of course, she's distraught. Of course, she's heartbroken. And what do? Well, at that time, 17 years ago, I didn't know this passage of Scripture. I took my Bible, the only thing that I knew to do, and the only thing I could think of was, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I didn't know where that was in the Scriptures, but that's the only thing I could think of. Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. And I Thompson chain just like this. I go to the back. I start looking up believe. And I finally come to Mark chapter number 9. And amazingly enough, look at the situation. A situation much like I was going through. A situation of a father who had a son that was sick. And I read that passage of Scripture. Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And as I'm sitting on the windowsill there in King's Daughter's Hospital, and I'm reading this passage of Scripture, and I'm letting the Lord speak to me. The Lord is talking to me, sharing with me. And here's what the Lord said. Mark, I know you believe that I'm a sovereign God. Mark, I know that you believe that I'm omnipotent. I know that you know that. I know that you believe that I can do anything. That's not the question. The question is, do you believe that I will do this? You see, because what Jesus asked this man, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, we know that the word believe does not mean to have knowledge of, right? The word believe means to entrust. What God is telling this man here is, not you believe that I can heal your son, but do you believe that I will heal your son? And if you believe that I'll heal your son, he told the man, I will. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to them, the one that will entrust the situation to me. So what God told me that day there in King's Daughter's Hospital was, Mark, if you believe that I'll heal your son, I will. What do you think I chose to do? What choice did I have? I didn't have any other choice. Are you telling me, God, that if I believe that you will heal my son, you will heal him? Yes, if you will turn him over to me, and if you will entrust your son to me, I'll wipe it out. It'll be gone. That's a difficult thing to do, you know. To totally surrender this child to the Lord. And then another thing that makes it difficult is I'm going to have to go over and tell my wife the same thing. I'm going to go over and tell her and say, Kim, the Lord says that if we'll turn our son over to him, then he will heal our son. And I take Mark chapter number 9 and I read it to her and I tell her what the Lord's told me, and we turned our son's situation over to the Lord. Lord, we're surrendering our son to you. Lord, we believe, we trust that you are going to heal our son. And the Lord said, oh yeah, by the way, when I do this for your son, you've got to tell others about it too. You've got to let everybody know what I've done for your son. First of all, begin with your son. You can't ever let your son forget what I've done for him. And then you need to tell other parents who are going through the same situation. You've got to tell them. Now think about how this is going to be. You've got to take a family who has a child that's sick, and you're going to go to them and tell them, if they will believe, if they will trust their child to me, I can heal them, and I will heal them. That's not a very easy thing to do. But that's what the Lord challenged me with there that day. So let's think about this. Let's go back to the text, because Jesus said, if thou canst believe, verse 23, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you will entrust your son to me, all things are possible to him that believeth. And notice what the Father said. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. From experience, I think I can tell you what this Father's saying. Lord, I want to believe. Lord, I'm trying to believe. But Lord, when I won't believe, and I can't believe, help me to believe. I believe that's what He's saying. I want to always trust You, Lord. I want to always depend upon You, Lord. And if I'm not, help me to. I believe that's what the Father said. Now we know the story here, don't we? That Jesus healed the boy. We had some difficulty with Mark Anthony's situation. Our doctor didn't have privileges at King's Daughters Hospital, so we had to take the advice of the neonatologist there, and the neonatologist assigned us to an adult neurosurgeon in Ashland, and we didn't know what to do, but anyway, we kind of decided, well, they've kind of been with our situation, we'll just take our son there. And the first time my wife took my son to that doctor didn't know anything about his situation. He's like, now tell me again what's wrong with your son. So anyway, just through some friends, our regular pediatrician at Belfont found out about the situation, and she said, would you bring your son to me and let me investigate it, let me look at him? As soon as we walked in the door, she says, you need to go to Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, and see Dr. Kosnick. He's the chief of pediatric neurosurgery at Children's Hospital. So we go up there. She gets us an appointment. We go up there. Dr. Kosnick's a great doctor. And he's got water on the brain. Yep, he's got a level 3, level 4 bleed. He's going to have some brain damage and all of those things. So, but we're not going to do a shunt. We thought he was going to have a shunt. But we're not going to do a shunt. We're going to try something new we've never done before. We're going to give him acetazolamide. What acetazolamide does, apparently, is it causes your body to not produce spinal fluid. What Mark Anthony's problem was, in the very inner recesses of your mind, is the ventricle. It's the deepest part. And apparently, inside the ventricle, all of your spinal fluid filters through that. And inside his ventricle, there was a nodule of blood vessels that's supposed to go away before a child is born. His didn't go away, and when he was born, that bled. And when it bled, it caused a clot in the drain. And so his drain was not cleaning out all the fluid. And so it caused pressure to build up from the inside, all the way from the inside. And so Dr. Kosnick says, we'll put him on his acetazolamide. It'll stop his body from producing spinal fluid, and then maybe his body will filter itself out. So he's on phenobarbital, which is seizure medication, and he's on acetazolamide, and we got to bring him home. No brain surgery. Every 2 weeks, we went back to Children's Hospital in Columbus, and he would have a CAT scan, and Dr. Kosnick would measure his head to see if his head was growing, because he did have the front part of his skull was, you know, it was larger. And so anyway, God healed him through Dr. Kosnick. And he's now 17 years old, and just last spring, we had our final consultation with Dr. Kosnick. Mark Anthony was having some trouble with his eyes. He went to the eye doctor, and his eye doctor said he looked like someone who's had a brain injury in the past. So his optic nerves were a little cloudy. And so the doctor went back and looked at earlier pictures. But just to make sure, we called Dr. Kosnick's office one more time, and they said, look, here's what Dr. Kosnick's notes say. This child has no damage. It's as if he never had his situation when he was born. He's perfectly whole. You see, all things are possible to him that believes. What happens to us a lot of times, I mean, listen, we love this, don't we? We love this truth. I mean, it's the Word of God. We've depended upon our eternal destination. We placed it in the hands of God, and we said, Lord, here's our life, our eternity. We believe You. You saved us for eternity. And we'll trust Him with our eternity. But when it comes to our lives, we say, I don't know whether He's going to work there or not. We love the Word, but when it comes time for us to take the Word and to apply it to our lives, sometimes we're not as quick to do that. Sometimes we're, I don't really know if God would do that or not. Is God still going to work miracles today? Will God perform a miracle for me? We'll trust Him with our eternal life. Sometimes we're not so ready to trust Him with our lives. You see, shortly after this, there was a family who had a boy that had a hole in his heart. Or diagnosed with a hole in his heart, anyway. And the Lord says, you need to go tell him all things are possible to him that believeth. I'm like, no. It's okay for me and for me to believe that, but for me to go and tell that family down there whose son is diagnosed with a hole in their heart that if they would believe that, you'll take care of that? I don't want to do that. But I told you that you would have to do this. Okay. You know how scary that is to go and tell another family that's got a sick child that if they'll believe that all things are possible to him that believeth? Not the easiest thing in the world to do. But I've had to do it time and time and time again. I don't know how many times I've had to do it in the last 17 years. A multitude of times. But the Lord told me, and I made a promise to the Lord, and I'm still making that promise. Because, you know, it's not really easy to preach this message to you today, because I know some of you are out there and saying, oh yeah, right. Yeah, we don't believe God's going to do that. So it's not the easiest thing for me to tell you all things are possible to him that believeth. Even though it's what the Word says, yet a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people don't believe that God does miracles anymore. A lot of people don't believe that if you believe what God says, then He'll do something miraculous for you. We don't believe in miracles today in a lot of cases. But the fact of the matter is, what God said in His Word is true, and all things are possible to him that believeth. I don't care what it is. Oh, now what if it's not God's will? Well, there comes a time, I want to tell you, that you don't care what God's will is. There comes a time when you're so distraught and you're so hurting and you so want God to do something that you really don't care whether it's God's will or not. All you want to do is pour out your heart to God and say, God, I need help. God, I need You to do something for me. God, I need You to move. And you're not going to sit back and consider, well, I don't know whether that's in God's sovereign will and plan or not. And you'll just simply believe what He says. All things are possible to him that believeth. You don't know the times when we would go to Dr. Kosnick. And again, that's a difficult thing to believe. That your son who has brain damage, supposed to have cerebral palsy, maybe not walk, maybe not talk. It's difficult to believe that he is going to be whole. They listen, while we were still in the hospital, they tried to set us up with, I forget what group it was, but it's some kind of group that comes into families who have brain damaged children. And when we left the hospital, when he was a few days old, they tried to set us up with that group. I mean, there was no doubt he had brain damage. The hospital wanted us to, and for us to believe that, God, you're going to heal him and make him perfectly whole. You know what it's like when they put a x-ray up on the thing? You know when it makes that noise, that plastic, and that wrinkling sound, you know? We go to Dr. Kosnick's office, like I said, every 2 weeks when he was first born. He'd have a CAT scan, and they put you in this little cubicle, you know, and you hear Dr. Kosnick going to each one of the rooms, and I don't know how y'all would be in that, but I was really nervous. And you hear that x-ray go up, and you're like, I don't know he's coming to see us next. The multitude of times my wife and I sat in Dr. Kosnick's office and we said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I want to believe that you're going to heal my son. Lord, I'm trying to believe that you're going to heal my son. But Lord, it's hard. So help my unbelief. When he's 4 or 5 years old, we're in Dr. Kosnick's office, and how's your son? You know, other patients there. How's your son? Well, he's doing pretty good. He had water on the brain, and this family setting there has got a mentally, you know, a brain damaged child, and they say, oh yeah, my child was doing the same way. They were doing good. Delays about 4 or 5, and then would hit him again, and now they're back down. And look at him. Now look at him. No, that could happen to us, right? He'll be doing pretty good for a while, and then whammo, it happens to him. You don't know. You don't believe. You don't understand. I mean, it's difficult to believe. When the eye doctor said his eyes look like someone has been brain damaged. Lord, I know you promised, but Lord, are you going to put me through a trial again? Lord, I believe, help thy unbelief. You see, that's kind of become our motto, our mantra. Lord, we believe, help thou my unbelief. The great thing is, the funny thing is, you go to a doctor's office, you know, we moved to Sagersville and since Mark Anthony's been born, and you take in his file and you see the doctor come in and they look at the file and they look at your son and they look at the file and they look at your son and they look at the file and they look at your son. That's not this child. That child cannot be the one described in that file. Yes, it is. There is no way that what is described in this file, that child can be this child. Oh, yeah, it is too. Do you realize you have a miracle on your hands? Yeah, we do. You see, I don't know where you're at in life, and I don't know what you believe, and you know what? It really doesn't matter to me. You're either going to listen to what the Word of God has to say and how I've described it to you, or you're not. Here's what I know. Jesus said these words, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Again, what Jesus is asking is not, do you believe that I can? Do you believe that I will? And are you ready to entrust your situation? I don't care what it is. Are you ready to entrust your situation to the Lord? And if you're willing to entrust it to him, that means that you give it to him and you take all your hands off and you just be willing to do whatever he says. Entrust it to him. And if you're willing to entrust it to him, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's what Jesus said. That's what I choose to believe, and hopefully that's what you choose to believe. And no matter the situation, if you'll entrust it to Him, He can do miraculous things. When we come to our life, when you're faced with an impossible situation, will you believe? That's the thing. Because all things are possible to him that believeth. Brother Fry.